Audio excerpt from The Curse of the Neverland by Lindy MacLean, read by the author. Chapter 6. The Worm's Welcome. Pip hadn't walked more than an hour when she glimpsed the distant, dull gleam of dim light on dark water. The sea. While the creek continued to wind to her left, she thought if she cut to the right, she'd reach the cove sooner. A shortcut. Feeling pleased, she angled in the chosen direction. The underbrush grew thicker. Dead-looking, thorny brambles slowed her progress and forced her farther to the right. She cut through, but her ankles and shins began to bleed, scratched even through jeans. More than once she stopped to pull thorns out of the soles of her old tennis shoes. "Darn it!" Pip sighed in frustration. The only thing she could do was keep following the clear spaces. She thought of the foster girls back at Fitch's, the lifers. If only they were here to help her and keep her company. Then again, she'd probably just let them down, too. Soon the pitch changed, and she was climbing. It was a hill, a very big hill. Every time she thought she'd reached the top, it turned out to be only the beginning of another rise. Up the steep, sloping terrain she struggled. She'd completely lost sight of the cove. The foothills had grown larger than foothills. She was lost in the mountains, and her patchwork glimpses of the sky, not much daylight remained. Suddenly, she heard or felt a sort of rumble. She stopped in her tracks and waited, wondering if it was an earthquake or a thunderstorm about to drop its cold, wet load on her aching body. She heard it again. No, it wasn't either of those things. It was something over in that direction. Pip half crouched as she crept up the slope. The rumbling grew louder. The crest of the hill lay just ahead. She chose one of the boulders perched at the top, dropped to her belly, and pulled herself toward it. Digging her fingers into the dirt, slowly, carefully, she lifted her head until she could see over the edge. The sound of screams tore through her, and her blood seemed to freeze in her veins at the sight that met her eyes. Below her spread a large crater. It looked like the Neverland had been struck by a meteor. To her right lay the opening to the dragon's lair. She knew, because the dragon itself, Sinkaraz, slowly slithered out of the cave's entrance, black scaled wings folded against its worm-like body. It reeked of sulfur. The rumble came from its footfalls. This creature would strike terror into the heart of any human. But that wasn't all. On the other side of the crater from where Pip lay hidden, a path zigzagged its way from top to bottom. The path wasn't empty. Pirates marched a group of prisoners into the crater. The captives, all men, wore orange jumpsuits and handcuffs. If the movies she'd seen were right, they were straight out of jail. The men looked shell-shocked. Their faces shone, skin sweat-slicked. The pirates flanking them were armed with swords and pistols. Step by step, they forced the terrified group down the path. When the first group reached the crater bottom, they turned and shouted, trying to make their way back up. Blows rained down, and the group advanced, though the shouting continued. In moments, the group stood, only 50 paces from the black beast. "Avast, you mealy-mouthed bilge-bags! Stop your confounded caterwauling!" The voice jolted Pip's heart into double time. It was that pirate, the one who haunted her dreams, the one who'd taken her parents, Captain Littlejack. He stood between the prisoners and the dragon. As if to confirm her assumption, he spoke again. "I am Captain Littlejack. It has been me pleasure to chart the course of your journey up till now. At this point, however, we part ways. I bid you me fond farewell." He bowed low, a mocking grin on his face. Snapping upright, he turned to the terrible black lizard. "Are you ready?" A cloud of steam shot from its snout, and its glowing red eyes began to whirl in response. Pip thought she heard a hissing. "Yes!"
"All right, men, on three,"
Captain Littlejack directed his crew. "One, two, three." Before he'd finished three, the captain and his men ran, diving for the sides of the crater. The giant worm opened its maw and inhaled. Before her very eyes, Pip watched the bodies of the prisoners, men from her world, disintegrate, like an image fading on a computer screen. There one moment, gone the next. Almost as if they'd been beamed to another location, like on the old Star Trek rerun she'd seen on TV. Pip peered around frantically, hoping to see the group reappear on the crater's opposite rim. They might be criminals, but surely they didn't deserve to be inhaled by a dragon. But no, all she saw was the dragon smacking its lips and backing toward its lair, one rumbling footfall at a time.
"Back to the ship, men," the captain ordered.
"Aye, aye, Cap'n,"
the pirates hollered as they scrambled up the steep slope and faded into the underbrush. They obviously couldn't wait to put some distance between themselves and the man-eating lizard. Captain Littlejack, however, drew closer to the terrible beast. "Time for the offering, me pretty." He crooned a pirate tune as he untied a length of rope from his waist and flung one end over the beast's neck. Holding both ends tight, he leaned back and climbed the rope, hook over claw. His feet walked up, first Cinqueras's foreleg, then its chest, until he stood at eye level with it. Reaching into his cloak, he withdrew a silver vial. Uncorking it, the pirate balanced, waiting. From each dragon eye, now whirling gold instead of red, rolled a very large dragon tear. Captain Littlejack moved swiftly, collecting the tears in his vial. Once finished, he climbed down, resettled the corked vial inside his cloak, and bowed low. "Until you feed again." He rose and strode in the direction his crew had gone, disappearing over the crater's rim. Piper watched him go. Suddenly, it was as if she saw her parents standing in the crater where the pirate had been a moment before. Her father, in his black pajamas, dark stubble on his chin. Her mother, in her white nightgown, her beautiful wavy hair cascading over her shoulders. Then they, too, disintegrated, as the other prisoners had. Gone. Gone forever. Blackness pressed at the edges of Piper's sight, and her fingers clutching the earth let go. She slid down the bank the way she'd come, rolling into brambles and darkness.